Good evening, everybody, and I will try not to keep you too long. I know it's cold. It seems unusual. Maybe about as little as 2 weeks ago, I was sitting here, and the fan is over here, and I'm turning the fan on. Now, but this is a day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus said these words. He said, be courageous. Jesus said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So be of good courage. So even if it's cold or even when it's hot, we glorify our Lord, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? Knowing this first, see, I've repeated these scriptures to other, in my times of preaching, a few other pastors or preachers, and they got mad at me because they thought that I was correcting them or admonishing them. But I try to tell them when I say these words, if it's my time to preach, I am reminding myself from the Bible, from the Word of God. I'm not trying to correct anyone. I don't know anybody that needs more correction than me. I am a sinner, saved by grace. Amen? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, word prophecy today means like preaching, but the Bible says, knowing this first, sometimes I don't even like calling it the Bible, it is the Word of God. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. A pastor had kind of, I shouldn't say argue, but he disputed with me when I had said that, and I'm just repeating the Word of God. He said, well, that pertains to the writers or the translators of the Bible. Okay. But it's still not of any private interpretation. See, the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So if I speak what holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, then I'm being moved by the Holy Ghost. And if that wasn't enough, you know what the Bible says, the Word of God says, what Jesus said. And I quote, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. I remember over 40 years ago in Germany where I got saved when I was in the army. The very first words, if I remember it right, nervous, sweating, the very first words, the very first time that I had preached. And of course, I didn't have this written down. I'm saying a silent prayer. And back then, you know, if I got nervous, I didn't shake, I sweat. And I mean, the whole front of my shirt was wet. I was just that nervous. And seems like the scriptures I had outlined, I only had 20 minutes. It was three of us new preachers that was going to preach on a Wednesday night. They had that once a month. And I had my outline. I asked Brother Bob Sercio, the pastor, could I go and lay preacher's night? He said, yeah. And seems like when I got up there, I opened my Bible and I'm holding my head back because I don't want to wet the Bible from sweating. And my mind just went. It was totally empty. I kind of didn't know where to go in the Bible. neither did I know what I looking, I stuck it in the Bible. At first, I couldn't find any outline I might have had. And I said, oh, my God, I'm up here looking stupid. I'm up here at least looking like I'm deaf and dumb. I said, God, I don't know what to say, but I do know that I need to say what you want me to say. Please show me from your word. And we don't have to beg God and say, please. He said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in these words, I was looking down, wiping myself, and I looked up. And these words came out of my mouth. I preach to please no man save the God man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then my mind all came back to me. Now, something else where other preachers or pastors had got offended, I said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. They're saying, oh, you know, I mean, you could see their faces later. Oh, you bragging now. Said, can I preach the word of God to you? Yeah, that's the point. You said we, like me, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So I told them, look in your Bible, your King James Bible, and read to me, if you would, what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. So they looking, you know, I'm not looking right now, but they're looking. And we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So I said, can I preach the word of God to you? When I recited that, I might have not gave you the scripture reference, but see, I'm telling you something about myself. I want you to have an open Bible when I preach. If it was announced or you knew by schedule I was going to preach tonight and you're here to hear me preach, I appreciate that. I'm honored and I thank you. But don't come to hear me preach. Come to hear the word of God preach. See, because I wasn't there in the beginning, but the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what the Bible says. That's what the word of God says. That's why God has me here, sitting, standing, whatever it is, to edify the church. Now, let me tell you one other thing about me, which is probably our pastor and a lot of preachers. God did not give me any special revelation. He did not. However I preach, you say good, bad, or in between. You know, you say, wow, God's really blessed Brother Leon. In that respect, no, he has not. What he has done was given me one of these. You could do what I do because I'm just preaching the word. It's not about me. It's about the word of God. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Cristo. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Now, I love this that's in the Bible. That's not the message tonight, but there's questions. When I was a little kid, you might ask your parents, yo, who is God? What is the Bible about in this type of thing? My father, boy, I will slap your teeth out of your mouth. I was just asking a question. Don't get smart with me. They said, old tradition, you never, ever, 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 ever question God. But see, I didn't know. So I'm not trying to question God, like say, maybe you're wrong, God, or something like that. I needed to learn. You remember I preached before, and I had preached on, if you were here, I preached on what's the most important verse in the Bible. And that word, that verse was a question. What must I do to be saved? When I read that, it's not what must you do. It's what must I do to be saved? Because see, I can't preach the gospel and salvation to you. Let me put it in an analogy. I can't teach you how to ride a bike if I don't know how to ride a bike myself. So I asked God, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not would be, not could be, not should be. The Word of God says in the King James Version of the Bible, the only one that's called the Authorized Version. And of course, the Spanish version of the King James. A lot of people don't know that. King James kind of has two names. And I used to think, and we're going to get to the text in just a moment. I used to think and say, oh, Authorized Version, King James authorized it. That was totally and completely wrong. If you're thinking that, get rid of it. What King James did, technically, we don't even know if he was saved. But the over 40 Greek scholars that translated the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek with some Aramaic in it, they came out with an English version of the original scriptures, the Masoretic text is called, or Textus Receptus. And so they had a lot of other Bibles out then. So they said, we need, and publishers, so we need to make a distinction. Because, see, these people over here, they could steal it, okay, and even put copyrights on it, charge people for it, and this type of thing. We've got the Word of God in English, like we have one in Spanish. So what we need to do is distinguish that. Now, how are we going to do that? King James, would you authorize us to put your name on it? So it will be distinguished from all the rest of these other Bibles. And he said yes. So he did authorize to put his name on it. To give it a title from all the other. But see, it's the Word of God. It's not the Word of King James. But they said, I wonder what God has to say about that. God authorized it. That's why only the King James, the second name, we call it King James Version of the Bible. The other name for it is the Authorized Version. Not authorized by King James, but authorized by God himself. And it's in the Bible. Not those words, but the Word of God says this. All Scripture. Is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. Why do we need all that? The Bible goes on and says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our sins, another rendering of it, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray these things. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. If you would turn in your Bibles, I should have said that already, to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. I ended up preaching this as a series. I heard from before that when I preached on this, the last time I preached, glory to God that I'm still here today to be able to do this, I've heard the phrase used, is he going to finish that? I love to. Actually, it makes it easier on me because, you know, a lot of times, sometimes there's some confusion. God's not the author of confusion. I preach then, and I know I'm going to preach this other time, Lord willing, and I say, Lord, what is it you want me to preach on? So if you preach a series or you preach one book like Pastor Kewen does and this type of thing, you kind of don't have to guess what you're going to preach on. I had a pastor that kind of argued with that. He says, well, if you say you're going to preach a book, even if it's a short book, and let's say next Sunday, okay, you're preaching every Sunday, and next Sunday, the Holy Spirit tells you to preach something else, then what do you do? I thought the answer to that was very simple. You preach what the Holy Spirit told you to preach. Then you go back to that. If he doesn't tell you to keep on preaching something else. But I'd said about questions. There's a question here. So in Luke chapter 11, this is also depicted from Matthew chapter 6. One person asked me also that needs a little bit of explanation. I was asked this question not too long ago. What if you are preaching and you say, this scripture God is telling us, it says A, B, and C. And you stand on that looking at your Bible. But another person says, who's so to speak just as good a man of God and a preacher, to me, that says D, E, and F. So he said, one of you probably has to be right, and one of you has to be wrong. Because I don't see how y'all can say something different, and both of them, both of you can be right. Or maybe even both of you are wrong. I told him, look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In words, they say things. There's a lot of harmony where they say the same thing, but in words, they say things differently. But they say the same thing. Look at it this way. Here's Matthew, north. And Jesus is in the middle. Matthew looks to the south, and he sees Jesus. And in the analogy I'm given, he sees the same Jesus, but he might see the top of his head. So he explains it from the top of Jesus' head. Now let's say Luke is south. He sees Jesus from his feet up. Notice he sees Jesus. But Matthew is going to explain the head. Luke is going to explain the feet. The same Jesus. And so would Mark, let's say, on the east. So would John on the west. The same Jesus. So they are all telling the truth. But they just see it from their point of view. So as long as it's based on the Bible, remember God said, preach the word. They can all be right, even though they're saying it differently. Now, the Bible says this also. I know it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I believe it's verse 33. If a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. See, we use that word ignorant, kind of a simpler word, a slang word for that would be stupid. And I understand people, you read that scripture to them, and I've had this with a pastor recently, and he's like, I wasn't talking to him, I was talking like if it was you, the whole church. He got highly offended. Jesus said these words, blessed are they that are not offended in me. I said, can I read the Bible to you? And he said, yeah. If a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I said, I'm not calling you or anybody else stupid. Now, I will tell you this, if the shoe fits, wear it. I just read to you the word of God. But see, even God, as we use that word ignorant, doesn't mean like stupid. If you spell it out in English, it starts with the word ignore. Ignorant. So all God's really saying is, if a man wants to ignore, you say Jesus is God. And they got a whole religion that says he's not. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses. But God says, don't fight with them. You know, don't. What did you say? He's God. You're going to have a fight on your hands. You at least need a Band-Aid to put on somebody's lip. No, God says, if they want to ignore what my word says, you tell them the truth, but let them ignore it. Jesus said, blessed are they that are not offended in me. Let's go. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. It's going to be a slight review. I won't take long on that. And it came to pass that as he, that's Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, see, here's one of those questions. Teach us to pray. I like to look at it as if I was there. I didn't have to ask the question, but I was standing by. You hear what he said to Jesus? I'm going to listen. Teach us to pray. And they went on to say, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. Now I got to add this in. You don't want to use a vain repetition. To use that first part, you said, you ready to pray? Yep. Our Father which art in heaven. And then let's say it's prayer meeting the next week. Are you ready to pray? Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven. Let's go next Sunday again. You ready to pray? Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven. See, you don't mean it. That's what God says is a hypocrite, is a vain repetition. You can use those words again and again and again, but you use it as an outline. You use it as a basis. I told you this before if you were here. Our Father. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. But see, when Jesus, when Christo, he was declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection, when he went up into heaven, he no longer said, my Father. He said, our Father. Amen? That means your Father. That means my Father. Jesus said these words, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he said, when you pray, you say not Jesus' Father, not their Father. You say our Father. And then he goes on to say, when you pray, say our Father which art in heaven. Think about that. That's why Jesus died. All of this is about heaven. God's word says, and I quote, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Heaven is a place. Let me read something to you. And John, you can turn there if you want, or you mark it down and listen to it later. Probably most of you know it. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus is speaking, and he says these words, let not your heart be troubled. That's kind of like, don't get upset, don't get confused. This is not a hard thing. Just listen and believe. That's what he's saying. But as it is written, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe? And see, when I first learn this or when I preach it, I like to make like, I don't know what he's talking about, so he can talk to me again. And I can understand. Maybe I missed something before. I want to catch it now. So he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe? I said, okay, Jesus. Give it to me slow. What should I believe? And then he answers me and he says, believe in God. Okay, I wouldn't have an open Bible. I wouldn't be talking to you if I didn't believe in God. Is there something else I need to do? He said, yes. I said, what's that? He said, believe also in me. I answer him back and I say, Jesus. I think he accepts that. That's good enough. But then he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. See, when we pray now, he taught us to pray our Father. So in our Father's house are many mansions. And these famous preachers, they argue with that. It's rooms, it should say. It's dwelling place. Let me tell you something. I'm not God's English teacher. Or Spanish teacher. I'm not going to correct God. But listen to what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So when you say, nah, it's not mansions, you're literally calling God a liar. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I was going to get gooder. He said, I go, and he went to prepare a place for those folks. No, that's not what it says. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That ain't the way we need to take it. That's what it says. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And he went. But why is he coming back again? He said, to receive you unto myself. Where is he at? He's with our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there ye may be also. And he said, whither I go, ye know, which simply means where I'm going, you know it. You might not think you know it, but you know it. And he said, whither I go, ye know, and the way to get there, so to speak, you know. As a man standing there when he said this, his name was Thomas, one of the 12. And I could see in my faith, in my mind's eye, he's scratching his head. Excuse me, Jesus, excuse me. Can I ask you a question? And Jesus, of course, said, yeah, okay, what's your question? And here's what the Bible says. He said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. And how can we know the way? In other words, if we don't know where you're going, I mean, we see you standing there now, you telling us this, but if we don't know where you're going, then we don't know how to get there. You know, they didn't have GPSs back then. But Jesus answered him. Jesus didn't say, don't question me. The Bible says that Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Y'all say amen. Jesus said, I am the way. He could have stopped right there, but he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man get into heaven but by me. The Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, the kids sang. I love to tell the story. They knew exactly what I wanted to hear. Why? Because I love to tell the story. But they, and part of the song says, if I'm getting it right, part of the song says, the ones that already heard it seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Anytime that I preach, if you think you're not saved, please, boast not thyself of tomorrow. The Bible says, they that believe on him is not ashamed. You come forward and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior. But if you are saved, this shouldn't bore you, and you should still be excited because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin and putting our faith and trust in him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, people need to not use God. You know, you know what people do with God's name? One of the first ten commandments says, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain. That means in worthlessness, as an expression. They even use it today, and you know what I mean. In English, as a cuss word. I seen it on the TV or something. They got a new show coming out. And the show is called OMG. And at first, OMG. That's obviously an acronym. It stands for words. What could that be? You know what it stands for? Oh, my God. Whoa. Is that not taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the creator in the creator of the universe? They used to have this old movie when I was a kid, and it was called Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh. I wasn't even a Christian then. I didn't come from a religious family. But I said, I thought he was something special. I thought he was the Son of God. The Son of God is the Son of God. He can't be a superstar. And I thought about that. And I learned as I got older, I thought about what the Ten Commandments said. Hallowed be thy name. Now we get to where, and that was more of a review, where we come to the part tonight that says, thy kingdom come. See, I realize maybe over 40 years, I've preached this, I've read this, I've prayed this, I've said this. And then I thought about a song I heard somebody singing. I'm sure they sang it here because traditional hymn. Open my eyes that I may see. See, you can read the Word of God. For some of us, you can even preach the Word of God. You can witness of the Word of God. And it's logical. It's even right. But is it what God wants you to have? See, we need to ask God by thy Holy Spirit. It was preached here before. Give me thy Holy Spirit. Make him to speak to me from thy word. People say they hear voices in the night. And they know it had to be God. So I asked him, okay, how does God sound? Does he say something like, I'm not good at imitating, but does he say something like, hello, I am God? It is funny. Or does he say, I am God? And they say, well, yeah, it was more like that. So you really don't know, do you? One man that was a preacher, he got mad at me. I said, I can tell you how God's voice sounds. I know exactly how his voice sounds. Okay. Tell me how God's voice sounds. He said, I didn't really hear anything. Let me do it again. You're going to say God sounds like a book. What do you base your salvation on? Thank you. Amen. Have you ever seen God? No. Have you ever, five senses, taste God? No. Have you ever touched him? No. In an audible voice in your ear, have you ever heard him? No. Why do you even believe in him? Bible speaks that itself. It takes faith. The Bible says itself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No, flipping pages is not exactly how God's voice sounds. But we base our beliefs on the word. Purpose to say, I thought you was talking about Jesus. Yeah? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. Jesus! Thy kingdom come. Let me tell you the words to a gospel hymn. Why would we want God's kingdom to come? Well, you go home, just look on your computer or turn on the news. You'll get that answered. We live in a day when five-year-olds can go to school, pardon me for putting it this way and being so candid, it's true, and get their brains blowed out. We want thy kingdom. We want God's kingdom. We want Jesus Christo, Jesus, to come come now. Because there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. That's where Jesus said, and we already studied that in John 14, chapter 1, verse 1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He said in the book of Luke, since we're there, we can turn near Luke, chapter 21, verse 33. You may know this. I'm not trying to just get you to turn pages, but what I am trying to do is show you we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Luke 21, 33. If your Bible is a red letter edition, that means Jesus is speaking, and this is a direct quote. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible says, let God be. Let God be true. But every man a liar. That doesn't mean every man will lie to you. I'm not lying to you right now because I'm preaching the word of God. And the Bible says every word of God is pure and righteous altogether. That's why these people come up with these new versions. And it's not the word of God. It's not pure. They add to and they take away things from it. I'm not God's English or Spanish teacher. People say, well, we don't talk like that today. Then we need to get back to talking like that. They say, well, these are modern versions. Do we need a modern God? You got to think about that. I hear a lot of Christians, I've done it. I've done it. They say, well, I need understanding, so I Googled it. In historic, I had preached a message that said, God's name is not Google. See, what I used to do, I'd use even a regular Webster's dictionary, or you know, if it was Spanish, of course, a regular dictionary. But I would pray. I would ask God to speak to me, to show me this. And then one day, you know, because it's so fast, it was so easy, yeah, I'd Google it. And I said, oh my God. Now that Google came along, and we give you good verses of information. Am I showing you I don't need you anymore? I'm trying to study, preach, and teach the word of God? Or am I trying to study, preach, and teach the word of Google? See, we got to think about that. He said, my words shall not pass away. Thy kingdom come. Go to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 21, verse 1. Thy kingdom come. John is speaking here, and he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Thy kingdom come. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away." Y'all say amen. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful," which means we can fully trust them. "Thy kingdom come." Now for our last passage, we're going to go to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 11. "Thy kingdom come." Isaiah chapter 11. Verses 6 to 9. You know why you want the kingdom to come? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." You try to hook up a wolf with a lamb and see what happens to that lamb. Jesus said these words himself. "In the last days ye shall have perilous times." That means dangerous times. I see people going down the highway, and they're driving fast on motorcycle. A couple of months ago, I was coming here to church, and on that exit where U-Haul is, I saw a car on the grass. You know, the firemen and the police were already there. A car on the grass, and the front of it was, well, put it this way, the lights were back to where the driver's seat was. And, you know, the traffic was going slow. So I said, you know, "Lord God, I don't think anybody could have survived that." But then on the grass, on the ground, I saw a body covered with the sheet. We live in perilous, I call that marijuana driving. It probably had to do with that. You see, we live in perilous times. And some of us will say, "I don't have to worry about that." No, we don't. As Christians, we need to pray. The word of God says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." But the Christian word for worry is concern. We do need to be concerned about that. Because we're driving, we may be doing the speed limit, riding under grace anyway, and we're doing what we're supposed to do. But sometimes you can't do nothing about it. "There's coming a time, thy kingdom come. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them." I mean, like, put them on a leash. "And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp." That's a cobra. That's one of the most deadliest snakes that there are. And the weaned shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Well, that's the poisonous snake, the adder. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Thy kingdom come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm closing. I just want to make mention on that part. If you just asked God yesterday to give you your daily bread, and if you live, you're going to ask God tomorrow to give you your daily bread. Why do we have to keep asking him? As it says in Luke, in Matthew it says, give us this day our daily bread. In Luke it says, give us day by day. You know what that means? That simply means this. God, I need you every day. In a way, I don't care that I asked you and you blessed me and you've answered my prayers and you preserved me yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Do you realize that? That prayer doesn't cover today. That's banished for all eternity. You can do the same things that you did yesterday at approximately the same time. But you can't do yesterday again. That's gone. And God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. So tomorrow you may not be able to, you might not be alive. So give us this day. God, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. There's enough evil in one day. If you feel you got to worry, worry about that. Let tomorrow take care of things of itself. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us. You know, I'll do this in depth if the Lord gives me a license in depth. Sound like I said in death. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our sins as we forgive those that trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. Thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God.